Have you ever felt stuck in your relationship with Jesus? Felt like you were just spinning your wheels? Or maybe have you ever felt lost? Like you don't know which way is up, which way is down, and just confused? I know I have, and I know I have a lot this year. My relationship with Jesus, but also just living, not knowing what's going to happen. And in a gathering like this, we're all over the map when it comes to this. Some of us are seeing some hope in our business, or maybe you've received your first or second dose of the vaccine and you see a light at the end of the tunnel, but we still don't know what this is all going to do. And last week we talked about needing a new map, and I'm feeling strongly in my heart that this is a season for us as a church family to unpack why God has put us together. Whether you're here locally in Rancho Cucamonga or you're hundreds, maybe thousands of miles away, God's brought us together for a reason. So I've been asking God, who do you want us to be? Who have you made this group of believers to be? What do you want us to do? And how do you want us to do it? And I've been circling around in our church building. There's a couple places where we have this tagline, I guess you would call it, being changed by Christ to live like Christ. And I've been thinking about that for the past, I noticed it 2.5 years ago. Like, what does that mean? And that's inspired Pastor Ryan and I over the past few weeks to start talking about what does that look like to be changed by Christ and to live like Christ. Like we were talking about earlier, before our worship, how do we let what's going on and what God is doing on the inside of us spill out to our outer life as well? So for the next few weeks, I think there's like not a lot of pressure to do something different. I think I get the image of, and hopefully this doesn't bring back horrible memories for some of you, but I've been in a few fender benders in my day. And I remember once the airbag actually came out and there was dust in the air. My arm had a little burn on it from the airbag, and I was disoriented for a few minutes. And I was like, did that just happen? So like, as a church family, after 2020, and now we're a couple months into 2021, the only goal here is for us to ask God, like, help show us where are we at in our journey with Jesus, and identify. So as we're talking through these scriptures and talking about some of these road markers who have come before us and faced hard times, pandemics, economic uncertainty, political uncertainty, we're not the first ones to face this at all. And so our challenge today is just to ask Jesus to help us orient, like, okay, where are we at? And what's the next step? And how do we do the phase that we're in? How do we do that well? What is Jesus's invitation to us in our stage of life, the way we're wired in this historical time and place that we find ourselves in? So if you have your Bibles, please open them to John chapter 21, or log in to John chapter 21 and follow along with me starting in verse 15. Now, this is a post-Easter story. So it's like the Easter will be like the prequel, like the Star Wars. We're starting at the end and we'll go back to the beginning. And all of you nerds watching are going, yes, Star Wars. And everyone else, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So in verse 15, this is a moment where Jesus is going to Peter after Peter has denied even knowing his master. And so, I don't know, he denied even being associated with Jesus, not just once, not twice, but three times adamantly. I've never had anything to do with this. And now there's this awkward moment, this conversation where Jesus had predicted this, and Jesus is actually moving towards Peter to restore their relationship. Jesus, and when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Jesus is indicating they're making breakfast, a fish breakfast on the beach, and really tying this back to Peter's profession. Do you love me more than your professional ambition? Do you love me more and trust me more than what you can do with your own hands and what you can do with your own skills? Like, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you, Jesus. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. A third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all the things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Notice in this part of this is important for us to gauge where we're at. Even in healing Peter, there was also a wound. Peter had to listen to Jesus say three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And then this next verse is the whole umbrella that what we're going to consider and think about today. It all fits under this next pattern. And Jesus addresses Peter again. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. On one level, this little snippet is the story arc of Peter's journey with Jesus. When he was young, he did his own stuff. It was very active, and he went on this journey of depending on Jesus and trusting on Jesus, and trusting in Jesus. And Jesus is saying, and then when you're older, you'll be led where you don't want to go. And he's talking about what church history tells us, Peter's crucifixion upside down in Rome. And so that's Peter's journey, but also it's our story. Because in this short interchange, there's this idea that Peter and you and I are being led. You know, I don't like this all the time, but the Bible often compares us to sheep. And we all have responsibilities. Sometimes we have to be a shepherd if we have a family and we have sheep. And as a pastor, I was just saying to Pastor Ryan yesterday, like, it's so interesting how quickly I change from shepherd mode. Like, oh, this is solid ground. This is my church family. I got to take care of this and do whatever I can to make sure people are cared for and taken care of. And it could be like 2 seconds later, I'm like, nah, like, I'm just like, help, I'm a mess. What? Like, it's a both and. But this reminds us, you know, as Jesus is reminding Peter, someone else is leading us. Like, I love Psalm 23. Lately, I've been reading that every single day because I need a leader. And one of the great lies that we come up against in American, especially self-help culture, do-it-yourself culture, one of the greatest lies we confront is the lie that we're in control of our own lives. And one cultural commentator just said that, like, the technique culture that is so prevalent in this day and age is almost like sorcery was in the pre-modern era. It's just taken a different form. And I'm tempted by this all the time. And maybe you'll find yourself in one of these examples. Oh, if I could just listen to one more podcast, I could figure out how to do this better in my business. If I could just read one more book and memorize one formula, then my kids won't grow up to be dictators and they'll be functional human beings. If I could just hear one more sermon, then the sin area in my life, or just have the right person pray the right prayer for me, then sin will be magically zapped out of me. But it's not our control, and it's not like this easy step A, B, C linear formula for maturing in Christ. And we have to trust and learn to trust, like Eugene Peterson talks about. This long obedience in the same direction. It's not about just fixing yourself just so you can move on with things. Like, this is about a journey and learning, not just knowing about God, but journeying with Jesus to know God and to become like God. So first step in orienting yourself and figuring out where you're at in this life and where you're at with Jesus is just realizing you're not in control. Sorry, what an encouraging day. You're out of control. But I mean, this is also one of the reasons why the recovery movement is so effective in the realm of addiction. That's the first step, realizing that there's a higher power in you. And most of us know, like, Jesus is that higher power and we can name it. So we're not in control. And last week we talked about an ancient roadmap for spiritual formation and becoming more like Jesus, and how it's not like martial arts where you advance in this linear color-coded system, but it's more like an upward spiral that you'll circle around and deal with a lot of the same themes. And some areas you may be growing in and some areas you may be stagnant in or actually moving backwards. But as we continue to point our hearts towards Jesus, if we stick with it, God can do amazing things in our lives. And I want to give you another map today. And don't worry, we're almost done with the maps. And this one may be helpful for you. It's a little bit more modern. It comes from Fuller Seminary. The authors are Hagberg and Gulick, and it's called The Critical Journey. And so our only task today is just to figure out where we fit in this and what's God calling us to next. And it's six simple stages. The first stage, I'll go through them real quickly and then say a little word about each. The recognition of God is the first stage. The life of discipleship is the second stage. The productive life is three. The journey inward is stage four. The journey outward is stage five. And the life of love is stage six. That sounds really good to me. Henry Nouwen says in his book, Reflections on Christian Leadership, that maturity for Jesus followers is being willing to be led where we'd rather not go. And that's part of our journey, because life throws stuff at us. Sometimes there's a big part of this process is facing pain and facing hard things, situations we've got ourselves into of our own will. And then also just because the world is free to be a world, life just hits us sometimes. Feels like it smacks us in the face. And the good news is that we have a Savior that's able to make a masterpiece out of any mess that we make or the world throws at us. So this first stage, this recognition of God is pretty basic, just realizing that there is a higher power, that we're not living in a purely material world. This may happen for some of us with a childlike faith that at a very young age, or maybe you were in your 50s and you're reading like quantum physics and you're going like, oh my goodness, this blows Darwinism. Like, what? Oh, it's all, there is a God. Like, what in the world? This is where you realize that there's God and you're drawn towards a purpose and drawn towards Jesus. And it's like waking up. You're no longer sleepwalking. And then you move into the second stage, the life of discipleship. And this is marked. And, you know, this is one of the things, like, no matter how much we mature in Jesus, we never graduate from the basics. You know, I'm just thinking some of you may be watching this going, yeah, this is 101 stuff. But it's not yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. Like, the great athletes, they still practice. They still do their drills. They still go to batting practice, even professionals. And this stage, the life of discipleship, is marked by obviously a commitment to follow Jesus, but cultivating relationships with other Jesus followers. We need each other and we never ever graduate from this. But especially new believers, I love being around them because their enthusiasm is contagious. You know, as we talked about last week, a lot of times the big obvious stuff falls off and they're just ravenously just taking in scriptures and sermons. They're at the church every time the doors open. And those of us who've been around a little longer, we need to be around that to be reminded of that first love and that enthusiasm. And it's amazing. And they're starting to learn and practice the ways of Jesus, different ways to be at work and not stepping on people to climb the corporate ladder, learning that people in their life are not just obstacles to be moved out of the way for their own agenda, but realizing, oh, I fit into a bigger picture. And in this stage, it's very important that they have good leaders. You know, they're not leading other people yet or teaching yet, because it's like a beginner phase, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as we grow and mature through this phase, we learn, like, not just like, oh, everybody doesn't follow Jesus the same way. Like, introverts and extroverts follow Jesus in different ways, and Jesus's words, like, oh my goodness, like, we need each other. I need to find out how it affects women, because I'm a man, like, to follow Jesus and learning from their experience, that, like, enriches and energizes our journey with Jesus. And it's also at the end of this second stage, it's beginning to take responsibility for other people. I love it when a new believer, like, has prayed for someone else the first time. And it doesn't, like, it's not like you have to go to prayer school, but, like, a lot, it's awesome when it just happens naturally. Like, I didn't even know what was happening. My friend was sad. I said, can I pray for you? And like, I was really nervous because I didn't know the formula, but, like, the words just came out, and this is awesome. Like, that's a sign that we're moving to the next stage, which stage three is the productive life. And this one, for the most part, is a really happy stage. Like, it's marked by goals. It's marked by doing things for God and serving, and there's enthusiasm with that. And this is can be quite a long stage. A lot of us in our middle years are here, and you may be really tired because it is marked by a lot of busyness. And those of you who are sitting watching this in your pajamas because you have jelly-faced toddlers at home, I get it. And I just want you to know there's nothing wrong with you if you're in this stage going, like, okay, I think I can make this. Like, it's just a stage in your journey. And part of your growth is learning to trust God, even when things are feel like they're so much bigger than you. That's the lesson there. Because guess what? They are. And you're learning in this stage, and I'm learning in this stage, that we're not God. That even God took a Sabbath on the seventh day. Like, we need rest. We need to take care of our bodies, and learning how to balance our enthusiasm for wanting to make our mark in this world and serve God in a way that honors God. There's a lot of learning here. And a lot of us stay in the stage. I think of it, so all my nerd friends, I'm feeling you again too. I call this the Captain Kirk phase, because you'll remember in Star Trek IV, especially in the movie the Journey Home, he was an admiral, and he really missed being the captain and being out there and beaming down to whatever planet. And this is our Captain Kirk phase, and it's a great phase, but we don't have to stay here. If we stay here, we'll miss out on God's work in us, but also the next movements of where God can really use our life in a new and fresh way that replicates into other people. And stage four, a lot of times we're pulled into stage four, this inward journey. And this typically happens during midlife. And midlife, I mean, I don't have a specific definition of that. Some of us are old souls, and we hit midlife in our 20s or a lot later. But a lot of times when we're pulled into this fourth stage, the inward journey, there's pain involved. This is when you got hit. You didn't even see it coming. And it's marked by, like, figuring out, like, okay, this is how I'm wired, or this is a wound I have. And maybe something happens in this stage of your life where you're realizing, like, I keep bumping up against the same personality type or the same pattern in my life. And you with Jesus and with a community around you, go inward and say, like, okay, what do I do with this now? And you're realizing, like, this is part of my story. This is a part of me that I don't like, and you're bringing that to Jesus. Sometimes in this stage, things can look great on the surface. Your Instagram may look awesome, but you have this inner pain going like, I don't know what to do with this. And this is when God begins to do a deep inner work and healing in you. A lot of times this can feel like questioning the big stuff. The world isn't as black and white as it used to seem. And a lot of people get stuck here too and just hit the eject button on their faith. That usually happens when they forget the basics of going through this in community. That in stage four, we're meant to go through this and have safe people around us, a pastor, a mentor, some of us a therapist to help work on some of these things. And we're not meant to, as one of my professors used to call it, navel gaze too long and be like this, you know, the point is to move through this because somewhere in this stage is what they call the wall. And I said the word through on purpose. Anyone who's lost someone dear, gone through tragedy, gone through something that they had to grieve and process will tell you, you don't get around the walls that come. I was just talking to God about the wall the other day. I was like, I thought I've been through the wall. Like there's oftentimes a few of them and maybe stacked up against each other and you don't go over them, you can't get around them, but Jesus takes you through this time and it can be disorienting, it can be disheartening. This is where we learn, like the lambs in Psalm 23, that to say the Lord is my shepherd. I won't lack anything. I don't know what's going on, but I'm trusting that on the other side of this, that there are green pastures, there are meadows, there is a table in the presence of my enemies. And there's a deep work that usually goes on here. And a lot of us trying to go around it, we can try to numb our pain with things as culturally acceptable as binge watching Netflix way too much and not really feeding our souls, all the way to addictive behaviors and destructive, hurtful habits. That's a way we can try to numb. But as we move through this, this is when God says, okay, I'm your source. And I can take you through this. And that trust begins to move us to the journey outward. And the cool thing about this is that a lot of our outward behaviors don't change. We're still serving, we're still living in community, we're still praying, but the motivations have changed. Because when we allow God to walk us through pain and we begin to trust in that, a lot of our old, what's called like our false self, or what Paul calls the flesh, is burnt away, and we're more comfortable in our own skin. And when we face problems, or difficult people, difficult challenges, we don't puff up to try to get more powerful than them. We don't shrink back, but we're able to say like, "The Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to stand my sacred ground and figure out what God is doing in me in this new season." And the growth in this stage looks more like learning how to rest, even when the world is going crazy around you. It looks like knowing that wounds are part of our story, that they don't define us. I have a friend in Austin, and they said like they went through a really difficult time in their marriage, and both Lynn and David were saying like, yes, we used to say like, I am a survivor. We've survived infidelity in our marriage. But they both moved away from that and said, that's not our identity. Like, that's just part of our story. That's the kind of thing God does in us in this stage. And there's not so much energy trying to avoid and numb problems and pain. I was talking to someone who I don't like peg people in what stage they're in, but as they were talking about conflict and difficult conversations with people, and this is like a more type A person who like, I would assume, oh, conflict is no problem for them. But like even they were like, no, we all hate it. no one likes healthy conflict. Like it's never comfortable. And like my mind was blown like by that there was just this like, I'm not going to try to avoid it though. That's the kind of thing that goes on in this stage. And then stage six is the life of love. This is where, you know, we talked about last week in the Colossians, where what we're doing as a church family is helping each other, listening to each other, so that we can all be presented as fully mature in Christ. And that word is love. Like, is the end goal is that we not only love other people, but like we become love. We're not perfect. That's not possible in this life. But the sin is the exception in this stage rather than the normal. And in this stage, it looks like an innocence. Like Jesus said, become like a little child. Not childish, but just a childlike innocence and really loving. Not just being a good moral person and making sure to leave a good tip at the restaurant, but like really loving people as defined as Jesus on the cross, like sacrificial love, and finding joy in that. And they're stripped of like ambition to be noteworthy or to like make a name for themselves, but just like wanting to keep the focus on Jesus. Now, the end goal of this spiritual journey is for us to become like God, not God-like, not like Adonis, but like to become godly and live a godly life. But sometimes along this journey, we get stuck. And I just want to say a couple words about each stage of how we can get stuck in each of these stages. Stage one, if you get stuck in like that first stage, it's usually when people don't join a community. That's one thing we have to look out for in this day and age, where you can find amazing preaching on YouTube. Congratulations, you've already done it. I'm just kidding. You can, it's tempting to think, I can just kind of do this cafeteria style. I'll watch this preacher, I'll listen to this worship album, which it's amazing to resource yourself. That is a very good impulse. But if there's not a community aspect that you know people and want to be known and are known by other people, that can get you stuck in any stage. And if you're home going, oh, community just really freaks me out, like I don't know, I'm feeling stuck there, please reach out to us. We can't do everything for you, but we can help you along the process. You can email us at the church office or visit our website and reach out to us. This is absolutely critical for not getting stuck, is being in community. And in the second stage, this discipleship stage, you can get stuck if you get rigid in like us versus them thinking, well, our church, our denomination, you know, is the only right one. Like, we belong to this beautiful, big, diverse family of Jesus followers. And if we keep laser beam focused on just the way our tribe does things, and by the way, this happens all across the spectrum, theological spectrum on the right and left, political spectrum on the right and left. Nobody has clean hands when it comes to this. We have to watch out for this. But like realizing like God is really big. It's kind of a random reference, but Moses said, sometimes God prophesies outside of the tent. Like, and realizing God's in control. I'm just going to be led wherever God wants to take me. And also, watch out for this too. The switchers and searchers. You know, this I'm summarizing a lot of this book on discipleship. So it was written in the 90s, so it sounds a little cheesy. So just let's give them some grace. But the switchers, I've been at this a little while, and I love switchers, but I've learned, like, when someone has come to my church when I was a youth pastor, and they're saying, this is the greatest church ever. Pastor Rob's teaching is the greatest since Jesus. Like, it didn't take long to figure out, like, ooh, no church is that perfect. And my pastor was really good, but no one's as good as that person is talking about. And they're just going from thing to thing to thing and never truly get grounding and not planting yourself in a church community, because there's no perfect church. If you find a perfect church, don't go there because you'll mess it up. Sorry, little old school there. But not getting rooted in a community will keep you stuck. And then searchers, like a lot of us have wounds. These searchers are usually people who have at some point in the journey left the church because of a wound. Maybe there was a scandal or toxic situation in their church, and they've just said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to search for something else. And when you do that, when you're not tethered to Jesus Christ, it can go in a lot of different places. And I don't know anyone in their 60s, 70s, or 80s, in my experience, who said, okay, I'm going to leave all of that behind and search for something else. And I don't know any of them that are like, that still feel good about that position, that decision, or that are like wise and loving and healthy people. Like, it's really important that we stay there, in our communities. And then you get stuck in stage four if you keep looking inward and never look outward. Like, we all have wounds and God wants to take care of them. But if you're only like, I'm a growth nerd. I love personality typing things, the DISC test, the Enneagram, Myers-Briggs and all that. But if all you ever do is go, wow, look at me, I'm so neat. Look at how I'm wired. Like, you can get stuck there. And that's kind of what a narcissist does. But as we're following Jesus, we learn to say, okay, thanks. Now I know how I'm made, where I've been, how I'm put together. Now what do I do with it? God, use me. And you move forward. And then the good news is, if you make it to the stage, the fifth stage, where a lot of that old self is burnt off, all you have to do is stay alive. Because people who make stage five usually make stage six. So exercise, take your vitamins, get enough sleep, and hope for the best, and you'll be at stage six. But I keep talking about these maps because it's important that we do have a self-awareness of knowing like exactly where we're at in our journey as much as we possibly know, so we know what Jesus wants to reshape in our lives. And like I said before, this isn't linear, and it doesn't mean it encompasses every area of our discipleship, of our thoughts, of our actions, of our self-awareness, of our ability to resolve conflict in healthy ways. We're going to grow in fits and spurts in different areas at different times. And it's important that we orient ourselves around this so we can be discipled by the right things. And I don't want to get on a soapbox of, oh, our cultures, you know, I appreciate where we come from. I love Western culture in so many ways, but it's not perfect. And right now it's conspiring against our growth and our progression in our journey with Jesus. Because as we grow and become less attached to our egos, as we grow and become less attached to material things, like, honestly, it's bad for business. Like, the people make a lot of money over convincing us that we're not rich enough, that we don't have enough possessions, that we don't look young enough. Like, it's important. Like, and those things, if we're not careful, can disciple us and shape us. But Jesus is calling us to something that's so much more peaceful, so much more joyful, so much more like purposeful in our life. So Jesus is saying, like, I want to lead you, and I want to take you, and I'm going to take you some places where you may not want to go. And I'm going to lead you some places like and not lead you to some places where you do want to go. But I'll be with you, and it's going to be okay, because I've got a plan for this, and I have you. So the question I'd like for us to ponder this week is, are you willing to go on the journey with Jesus? Like, maybe you're checking all this out and you're like, whoa, that sounds hard. Yeah, following Jesus is hard, but it's the best way. It's how we were meant to live. We're wired to do this. When you try to make all these personal programs for happiness, eventually, we come to the end and realize they're empty. This is what Jesus is talking about. I have come to give them a more full and better life than they ever dreamed of. And it's much deeper than possessions or just the things that tickle the top layer, but like to go deep into wholeness and healing. And if you find yourself this morning, this time, whenever you're watching this, and you find yourself in one of those wall situations that you can't get around, I want to encourage you for a moment to not give up. You feel like you've come to the end and you're all alone. if you're watching this, you're not. Like, we're available. Reach out to us. There are people standing by to pray with you and connect with you, be a tangible representation of the fact that Jesus is walking with you and wants to take you through and get you to the other side of whatever pain, obstacle, or barrier that you're facing. So, where is Jesus wanting you to go? What's your next step on this journey? And are you willing to go? And I want us to grab our elements as a reminder that we're not the first ones to face pain. Jesus, we've got followers, fathers and mothers that have come for 2,000 years that have faced, and Jesus has faced everything that we can or ever will face. And as a reminder that God is facing it with us, we've got these symbols here of what Jesus did for us. I want you to grab them and hold them in your hand, and let's take communion together. And I want you to hold this, whatever wafer or bread, unleavened thing you have in your house, hold it in your hands, and I'd love for you to join your heart to this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that just as your body was broken, we now have healing because of what you did. We have access to that. And in this moment, will you please go into every broken and hurting area of our emotions, of our minds, and in our bodies. We trust you for our healing, Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your shed blood, Jesus. We thank you for Jesus' shed blood, that there is nothing that can separate us, nothing that can separate us from your love, not height nor depth, nothing. We thank you for cleansing us right now, and no matter what stage we're at, God, we point our hearts and ask again for your cleansing blood to wipe us, wash us white as snow, and clean us and purify us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been watching this and you've never said yes to Jesus before and you feel like that's the first step to your journey, please click the link below and reach out to us. We'd love to pray with you and walk you through that first step and welcome you into the family of God. And we'd love to celebrate your new life in Jesus Christ. So please don't hesitate to click on that link. And also, I mean it from the bottom of my heart. If there's any way we can pray for you and encourage you and walk with you, no matter what you're going through, it is our honor and privilege. So take advantage of that. And for everything else going on at Solid Ground, sgbic.com. We'd love to connect with you further. So, as you go out this week and journey with Jesus, may the Lord bless you and keep you and lead you through whatever it is to the other side of what you're going through. May the Lord make his face to shine down upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, amen.